Shams. Konya, October 29th, 1242. Before I met Rumi, just one night prior, I sat on my balcony at the Inn of Sugar Vendors. My heart rejoiced at the magnificence of the universe God had created in His image, so that everywhere we turned, we could both seek and find Him. And yet human beings rarely did that. I recalled the individuals I had met, the beggar, the prostitute, and the drunk, ordinary people who suffered from a common malady, separation from the One. These were the kind of people that the scholars failed to see while sitting in their ivory towers. I wondered if Rumi was any different. If not, I made a note to myself that I should be a conduit between him and the underbelly of society. The town had finally gone to sleep. It was that time of night when even the nocturnal animals are reluctant to disturb the reigning peace. It always made me both immensely sad and elated to listen to a town sleep, wondering what sorts of stories were being lived behind closed doors, what sorts of stories I could have lived had I chosen another path. But I hadn't made any choice. If anything, the path had chosen me. I remembered a tale. A wandering dervish arrived in a town where the natives didn't trust strangers. "Go away!" they shouted at him. "No one knows you here." The dervish calmly responded, "Yes, but I know myself, and believe me, it would have been much worse if it were the other way round." As long as I knew myself, I would be all right. Whosoever knows himself knows the One. The moon showered me with its warm glow. A light rain, delicate as a silk scarf, began to fall on the town. I thanked God for this blessed moment and left myself in His hands. The fragility and brevity of life struck me once again, and I recalled another rule. Life is a temporary loan, and this world is nothing but a sketchy imitation of reality. Only children would mistake a toy for the real thing. And yet human beings either become infatuated with the toy or disrespectfully break it and throw it aside. In this life, stay away from all kinds of extremities, for they will destroy your inner balance. Sufis do not go to the extremes. A Sufi always remains mild and moderate. Tomorrow morning I will go to the big mosque and listen to Rumi. He can be as great a preacher as everyone says, but in the end, the breadth and scope of every speaker are determined by those of his audience. Rumi's words might be like a wild garden, full of teasels, herbs, spruces, and shrubs, but it is always up to the visitor to pick his fancy. While pretty flowers are instantly plucked, few people pay attention to plants with thorns and bristles. But the truth is, great medicines are often made from these. Isn't it the same with the garden of love? How can love be worthy of its name if one selects solely the pretty things and leaves out the hardships? It is easy to enjoy the good and dislike the bad. Anybody can do that. The real challenge is to love the good and the bad together, not because you need to take the rough with the smooth, but because you need to go beyond such descriptions and accept love in its entirety. There is only one more day before I meet my companion. I cannot sleep. Oh, Rumi, the king of the realm of words and meanings, will you know me when you see me? See me.